The Schools I'd Like, Revisited. Children and Young People's Reflections on an Education for the Future by Catherine Burke and Ian Grosvenor. Schools and the Students' Needs. In 2001, the Guardian newspaper launched a competition called The School I'd Like. The initiative posed what seemed like a natural and appropriate question at the turn of the new century, inviting children of school age to tell how they might change education and their experience of schooling for the better. From all the ideas received, The Guardian, with the help of 10 children, compiled a children's manifesto to capture the essential ingredients of the perfect school in the hope that existing schools would listen to the voices of children and put their ideas into practice. The perfect school would be active, calm, creative and colorful, expert, with teachers who live the subjects, not just read about them, friendly, and inclusive, with students of all achievements, abilities, and backgrounds learning together. School buildings. Children want to be proud of their school, but many feel embarrassed by their surroundings. These extracts show how children regard the built environment as the third teacher. To listen to these voices is instructive to all educators, architects, designers, and policymakers who have a responsibility for conceiving and constructing the spaces for learning which children inhabit. The School I'd Like competition spontaneously produced dozens of models, hundreds of plans, and thousands of designs of ideal sites of learning. These design ideas address more than the shape of building and ordering of the spaces. They tell a vision of education that reaches beyond the strict mechanics of building science. Many of the plans and models contributed in the competition featured domes and pyramidal structures, circular spaces, and a lot of glass. Toilets are among the appalling problems in many schools. Many suggest practical ways that they can be improved, but most wanted them to be less institutional, more comfortable, and accessible. For many children, not being able to lock the toilet door safely causes distress. Moreover, poor hygiene makes children unwilling to use the toilets and consequently suffer uncomfortable afternoons. The edible landscape of school. There is consistency over time in the demand by children for separate and specialized eating areas, similar to those which have become expected in the adult world of work. Children and teachers today are clearly struggling in many cases to work in spaces where food is regularly consumed. With the demise of the school meal as a central plank of educational and welfare policy, the chances of listening closely to the voices of children concerning the importance of spaces for eating and socializing seem more remote than ever. Schoolyards and playgrounds. Children have expressed clearly in their words and designs the School I'd Like 2000 competition material visions that range from adventure playgrounds that are filled with mazes, gardens, swings, treehouses, forts, and pirate ships, to full-scale theme parks with motorized rides and all the fun of the fair. The concern of the younger children is more space and equipment, while the older children's concern is for more storage facilities and social spaces. While children are concerned with meeting their own needs, schools view the playgrounds as spaces for physical education and training. Thus, they are empty, colorless, heart spaces characterized by the adult control of young bodies. Learning and knowing. Children and young people perceive the curriculum in schools to be limited and inflexible, restricting their chances of drawing effectively from knowledge and skills later in life. They appear impatient and eager to explore and contribute to all of human knowledge and experience, rather than to simply receive the dry, sterile, subject-driven version presented to them. They would seem to support the premise of mathematician and philosopher A.N. Whitehead, who, at the beginning of the 20th century, observed, "For successful education, there must be a certain freshness in the knowledge dealt with." Metaphors of schooling. "Get on with your work" is a phrase most often used by teachers in addressing students. Classrooms are managed, and teachers are assessed for their management skills and rewarded for their productivity. The metaphor of the factory, which accompanied the development of state education in the 19th century, has been replaced by the metaphor of the corporation. The language of the corporation is all about results, on turning out a product and quantifying improvement. Learning has become a commodity, a thing rather than an activity, the possession of which is a measure of the productivity of the individual within the society. Learning will happen with ease when it is allowed to be fun and when children are regarded less as herbs of identical animals, but as individuals who are made comfortable in mind, body, and spirit. Children long to be allowed more activity, experimentation, and continuity in the task. Nobody forgets a good teacher. Teachers are invested with authority to guide the learner's journey towards knowledge and habits of thinking which determine future identities. It is no surprise, therefore, to find descriptions of teachers dominating many of the entries in the 2001 competition. Children wrote at length about the qualities they yearn to be present in all future teachers. For example, they should be understanding and patient. They should encourage and praise wherever possible. They should also listen to their students. They should be willing to have points made against them. They should be humble. They should recognize the importance to a child of being allowed to take initiative in schoolwork, and above all, they should be warm and personal. Identities and equalities. The introduction of a compulsory schooling resulted in childhood being spatially compartmentalized, and children's lives and identities being increasingly regulated and shaped by the interior life of the school. The individual becomes the category, and as a consequence, occupies certain social spaces determined by these categories. Children resent the idea of one size fits all. Norms of performance are condemned as damaging to self-esteem and thereby individual identity. Safe haven. Children desire that school be a safe haven where they can be nurtured and grown to adulthood. Contrast this understandable desire, which reflects their rights under the UN Charter, with the experience of many for whom school can feel like a torturous prison. Children's words convey with power their experience of school. It is vital that they be listened to and respected, otherwise the results can be tragic. Flexible context. Children are aware of the extensive nature of school time, and this awareness is often accompanied by critical observations and commentaries on current organization of the day and the week. Children were particularly critical of how school time invaded personal time. More time at home with our family and a lot more time getting back to see the world and learn more things. And everyone needs a break, even the teachers. Everyone needs time to get to see their friends and families. So how are they supposed to do that with their endless work done? In the 2001 data, children demanded that the timetables give more time for the subject of your choice. This means that students can work better in lessons because they want to learn the subject. A flexible day has the effect of developing the important skills of teamwork, responsibility, negotiation and listening, and student relationships with teachers and other adults improved. School tools. Computers in classrooms are now accepted as part of the school tools. Since children are using computers for play and socialization from home, they are bringing a new awareness of the potential use of computers to the schools. Teachers and students share their classroom lives with objects. Artifacts are used all the time as means of educating and controlling. Martin Lawn has argued for seeing the classroom as a social technology. It will be necessary to see the classroom as a hardware and a software. It is the material structure, spaces, walls, furniture, and tools, and the working procedures, series of ideas, and knowledge systems operating within it. The classroom is the integration of the artifacts and rules and teachers. A different kind of school. Children have provided evidence of how all aspects of school and schooling interrelate from their perspective and, indeed, how the school and its immediate landscape connect with the community. They reveal in their passionate responses in words and images a dynamic which is missing from much exploration into the nature of schooling. How school feels, smells, tastes, its rhythm and rituals, its meaning and significance are revealed, all at once in writing, drawing, modeling, and planning, which attempt to capture whole school visions. In their words and images describing school as they experience it, children reveal their priorities for change.